My heart hath expected reproach and misery, and I looked for one that would grieve together with me, but there was none, and for one that would comfort me, and I found none. Verse taken from Psalm 68, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, throughout the weeks during Lent, it is the desire of the Church that the faithful meditate on the passion and death of Christ. And so tonight I would like for you to consider what our Savior suffered for us, and in particular, what He suffered in the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the first of the sorrowful mysteries. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane was about a quarter of a mile from the eastern walls of Jerusalem. It was at the foot of Mount Olivet, the place from which our Lord would ascend into heaven was just above the garden, where He suffered His agony. The garden itself was quite large, and it is likely that it belonged to the family of our Lord. In fact, the tomb of the Blessed Virgin would be in Gethsemane, and thus it would also be the place of her glorious assumption. Now, when Jesus entered Gethsemane on that first Holy Thursday night, He had the 11 apostles with Him. Judas was missing, for he had left the Last Supper early. He had gone to the chief priests to betray our Lord. In the garden, our Lord said to 8 of the apostles, "Sit you here till I go yonder and pray." He then took with Him Peter, James, and John. He went towards the place where the tomb of His mother would be located. Now, according to tradition, there was an immense staircase cut into the rock, which wound to the top of the Mount of Olives. And most likely, our Lord and the three apostles walked together up this stone staircase. And as they walked, our Lord began to grow sorrowful and to be sad. He began to fear and to be heavy. He told the three apostles, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." Our Lord allowed Himself to become sorrowful, so much so that this sorrow would have caused Him to die, had not His divinity sustained Him. But reaching a certain grotto, our Lord stopped, and there He left the three. But before He left them, our Savior said, "Stay you here and watch with Me." He was already in anguish, so He urged His closest friends to watch with Him, to pray with Him. He then walked a stone's throw away, and on account of His tremendous sorrow, He fell flat on the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. St. Mark tells us that our Lord called upon His heavenly Father. He said, "Father, all things are possible to Thee. Take away this chalice from Me, but not what I will, but what Thou wilt." Our Lord saw before Him the chalice of suffering. That is, all the sufferings He would soon experience in His passion. And the repugnance He felt caused him to say those words. He beheld the physical and spiritual anguish he would undergo. And it was a physical repugnance. Knowing exactly what this meant for himself, he offered his will in union with the Father's. And thus our Lord's passion began. Already our divine Savior was suffering intensely, for he knew and saw each of the torments he would soon suffer. He knew what the pains would be. In Gethsemane, he felt the approaching pains the soldiers that would inflict upon him when he would be arrested. He could almost feel the blows from their fists, the heavy chains and shackles with which they would bind him. He saw himself abandoned by his friends. He then heard the mocking jeers at the trial before the Sanhedrin. Our Savior foresaw them striking him and spitting in his face. He saw his cruel scourging in the hall of Pilate, the lacerations and stripes on his back, his whole body covered with wounds. Then the crowning with thorns, the shooting pains of those sharp thorns piercing his skull, with the blood covering his eyes and face. He heard the terrible mocking and blasphemies which the soldiers cried out when they crowned him. These sufferings were all before our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he foresaw the Jewish mob crying with hatred in their eyes, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then the terrible pains of the carrying of the cross came to his mind. The crushing weight of the cross upon his shoulder, the cruel whips from the soldiers when he would fall, and then the sight of his sorrowful mother. How this must have overwhelmed his heart, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then presented before his mind was his crucifixion and death. Stripped of his garments, pierced with nails in his hands and feet, he heard the insults and blasphemies from the Jews, their taunting to descend from the cross, and he even beheld his mother beneath the cross with Saint John. He saw the mother of sorrows, full of tears in her eyes, suffering in her heart, because she could not help her son. He was the cause of her grief, and there was nothing he could do to comfort her. And then he foresaw the desolation he would undergo. Such an agony was this in his soul that he would cry out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All this he saw in the Garden of Gethsemane. St. Alphonsus de Liguori explains that during the progress of the Passion, the scourges, the thorns, the nails, they all came one after the other. But in the garden, St. Alphonsus says, the sufferings of the whole passion assaulted our Savior all at once. And as this was not enough, our blessed Savior would endure more in the garden. His Sacred Heart, ever merciful and compassionate, would not abandon man to perdition. And thus our Lord offered Himself up to divine justice in our stead. In doing this, He took upon Himself the sins of all men. The Sacred Heart of Jesus became the victim of sin. So much so that St. Paul the Apostle said, He became sin for us. St. Paul says, Him who knew no sin, He hath made sin for us. That is, He became a sin offering, a victim for sin. The sins of every age and people, every sin ever committed and that will ever be committed, all of them were placed upon our Savior in the garden. He took them upon Himself as if they were His. As the priest places his hands over the chalice at the particular part of the Mass, so the Heavenly Father placed His hands over His Son in Gethsemane. And He transferred the sins of the world upon our Lord. Our Savior became the scapegoat, loaded with the wickedness of all mankind, from the time of Adam to the present day until the end of the world. And all the sins of Adam's race were upon our Lord. All the sins of impurity, blasphemy, all the sins of murder and perversion, sins of drunkenness and hatred, disobedience, pride and anger, every sin man is capable of, your sin, and my sins, all of them were put upon our Savior. And He felt the weight, the shame, and the guilt of them all. He, the Divine Son, the God of holiness, bore them all as though He Himself had committed them. He who is innocence itself. He who is the pure, immaculate Lamb with no blemish nor stain of sin. Not even an inclination to sin. He is now clothed with our sins. My dear friends, behold your blessed Savior. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But the burden of men's sins and the foreseeing of His sufferings were not all that our Lord took upon Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was also the ingratitude of men. Men in future ages would reject all of His sufferings. They would have no care that He, the Son of God, became a man and suffered for them. Their hearts would be cold and indifferent to Him. How many millions down through the ages would reject our Savior? Hundreds of millions would refuse even to believe in Him. And then there would be the millions upon millions of Catholics who, though washed clean by His precious blood in the sacrament of baptism, and even nourished with His sacred body in Holy Communion, would nevertheless abandon their souls to vice and thus be damned to the fires of hell. These ungrateful souls would be lost forever, in spite of all the sufferings our Lord was about to undergo for love of them. How the thought of this afflicted our blessed Savior. Truly we can say with the prophet Isaiah that He was a man of sorrows. Centuries later, in the 1600s, our Lord would reveal to a cloistered nun, St. Margaret Mary, the sufferings He felt in Gethsemane. And our Lord told her that the worst suffering He felt in His entire passion was the ingratitude of men. This is what our Savior said to her. The ingratitude of men is much more painful to me than all I suffered in my passion. Imagine it. The ingratitude of men, even our ingratitude, pains Him more than all the sufferings He endured in His passion. So overcome with grief was our Savior that He began to sweat blood. Imagine the drops of His precious blood flowing from the pores of His sacred body. The droplets stain His garments, turning them red. They became saturated in His blood. St. Alphonsus de Liguori, speaking of our Lord, afflicted at this moment of His passion, St. Alphonsus says, "Is this, therefore, O men, the reward that you render me for immeasurable love?" St. Alphonsus continues, "If I could only see that you gave up sin and began to love me, with what delight should I not hasten to die for you? But to behold after my sufferings so many sins, after so much love, such ingratitude, this is what afflicts me most, makes me sorrowful even unto death, and makes me sweat pure blood." By His divine power, our Savior gains strength and then rises to His feet. He returned to His three disciples whom He had pleaded to watch with Him. He seeks consolation in His closest friends. But what does He find? he finds them sleeping. The overwhelming sorrow of the Sacred Heart is increased. He awakes Peter and he says to him gently, Simon, dost thou sleep? What, could you not watch 1 hour with me? Watch ye and pray, our Savior said, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And thus the prophecy of the psalmist is fulfilled, which said, My heart hath expected reproach and misery, and I looked for one that would grieve together with me, but there was none. And for one that would comfort me, and I found none. My dear friends, is there no one to comfort our Savior? Is there no one to console His most sacred heart, which is heavy and broken by the sins of ungrateful men? Our Savior told St. Margaret Mary, If men rendered me some return of love, I should esteem but little all I have done for them, and should wish to suffer it over again. But they meet my eager love with coldness and rebuffs. And then our Lord begged St. Margaret Mary. He said, Do you at least console me by supplying as much as you can for their ingratitude? And this our Blessed Savior asks of us. Do you at least console me? My dear friends, let us tell our Savior that we will make up for the ingratitude of men, that we will respond to His touching appeal to St. Margaret Mary. Let us then comfort and console His most sacred heart, the sacred heart of our God, who loves you so much so that He took upon Himself our sins. Let us return this love by sorrowing with Him. Tell Him how sorry you are for your sins, and resolve to sin no more. St. Alphonsus says, It is certain that had I sinned less, Thou, my Jesus, would have suffered less. See what your sins have done to your God, and resolve to never sin again. Remove all mortal sin from your lives. Strive to avoid all the near occasions of sin, and comfort our Savior by visiting Him in the Blessed Sacrament. Give your suffering Savior the love and time He asks for. He asks you, could you not watch but 1 hour? Make time, my dear friends, for our Savior. Make time in your lives, and make up for those Catholics who have no time for Him. During this holy season of Lent, Take each day and spend some time in thinking of His passion and what He suffered for us. What He suffered for you and for me. Our blessed Savior has suffered a bloody sweat, a cruel scourging, was crowned with thorns. He has carried a heavy cross upon His shoulders. He was crucified on that cross and hung upon it for 3 long hours. All this He did for love of us. Let us suffer and die for love of Him. Let us suffer the daily crosses in our lives, and let us die to sin. Make reparation to the most sacred heart of Jesus, present here in our chapel in the Blessed Sacrament. Through prayer and penance, make up for the ingratitude He receives. And finally, let us comfort His most holy mother. Be faithful to her holy rosary every day. And let us, through the hands of that sorrowful mother, place our hearts into the sacred side of Christ, pierced for love of us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.